Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of These Parts. I'm Vince McNally, and that means right here next to me this week and every week is my brother, friend, and traveling companion, Elliot McNally. Elliot, I can see on your face you're still excited. It's been a whole week, yet your enthusiasm for this town hasn't waned in the slightest.
It hasn't, Vince. We actually had to pull over several times on the way into town. I was in a cold sweat, and we had to air out the RV a few times because it was getting very rank inside. But I still can't contain my enthusiasm, and we've been here for a week.
Yeah, I particularly remember vividly when you had to get out of the car to caress the sign that says "Welcome to Springfield."
Yeah, I was rubbing soil on me. I just wanted to take in everything and absorb.
You were rubbing soil on yourself. See, I did not. See, yeah. I didn't see that.
I really wanted to feel immersed in this town physically and emotionally. As you guys know, our listeners, and as you know, Vince, map making, being a McNally, Rand McNally, that's my first love. But my second love is The Simpsons. And it's also the first love of the town we're in today. A town, Vince, I'm very excited to put on the map.
Let's do it, Elliot. And before we do, I think, if I can correct you, I think your enthusiasm towards this town can really easily be described as sort of more of a lust.
Yeah.
I don't think romantic love is not as graphic as you need a term to describe how you feel about Springfield.
If there were any more plot holes in this town, I think that they would be filled very quickly by myself.
moving right along, shall we unfurl and unfold this map, finding Springfield?
Yes, and listeners at home, you should be doing the same as well if you haven't already. Taking out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps and your commemorative push pins, we're getting ready to stick a pin in Springfield, Utah. That's right. Before Springfield, Utah, the state had no Springfield. And they thought it would be a great way to get some tourists in here to pay homage to America's favorite family, The Simpsons.
Yeah, listeners, you probably know a Springfield in your own state, and that's because every other state in the Union, 49 of them, had a Springfield until, excepting Utah, until the foundation of Springfield, Utah just a few years ago. As you mentioned, Elliot, being a new town, they had the unique opportunity to kind of blaze their own trail, set an atmosphere for themselves as they created the town, and they chose The Simpsons for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and they're really setting an example to anybody else who wants a Simpsons-themed town in their state. Even places like Universal Studios, which has a Simpsons town, they're looking to Springfield, Utah to sort of set the pace.
Truly, they are thought leaders in the zone of creating towns to at the behest of animated sitcoms. And don't take our word for it. We've got a really important person with us today to help us put this town on the map, don't we, Elliot?
We do. He is the proprietor of the local comic book shop that may seem pretty familiar to any Simpsons fans like myself. Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I can certainly do that. I just wanted to say thank you both for having me. I mean, this is huge for Springfield, Utah, and I guess without further ado, I'm me. I'll just have you guys call me the graphic novel man. A huge fan of The Simpsons. I have watched it forever, and I'm so happy to be here and talk to you two today about the city, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We, especially I, want to pick your brain about the city and its inspiration, The Simpsons. And you said your name is Graphic Novel Man. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's one of the, well, I guess I've heard that it's the best name ever. So I guess just kind of go with it. I work at a place called the Cyborg's Portcullis. And it's on the main drag. So
that's the Cyborg's Portcullis.
Yeah, the Cyborg's Portcullis. We have all sorts of things from Slightly Irradiated Man. You can get your latest issues of that there. You can get your, if you want, any sort of illustrated versions of Ricky and Patchy. I know that's a popular television show. You can get those there. And actually,
Ricky and Patchy.
Ricky,
can we back up a little bit? I'm not sure. I've acquainted myself with Ricky and Patchy. Elliot, you're Simpsons fan numero uno. Are you also a Ricky and Patchy fan? Is that some sort of in-universe show?
I'm a fan of one of the in-universe shows, and you know, although I purport myself to be a huge Simpsons fan, my wires are crossed a little bit. Graphic novel man, it seems like maybe a lot of these things are ironic, which is cool. But I was told that you're a huge Simpsons fan too, so maybe I've just kind of spaced out on some of these little details.
Don't worry about it. I mean, you know, maybe your understanding's wrong. You know, almost certainly not mine. I mean, financially,
no, definitely not.
Financially, mine could not be wrong. So, and for numerous legal obligations, my understanding is not wrong of The Simpsons.
I want to talk about that, actually. The state of Utah came to you guys here, and they looked to you, in particular Graphic Novel Man, to create the town of Springfield. So how did this come about? And, you know, where do you start when you're making a town as an homage to a show? I mean, I'm sure you already had this wealth of knowledge that just came pouring out of you.
Oh, I mean, ever since I was a child graphic novel boy, I've had a fascination with cartoons and illustrations and things of a flip book nature. I mean, earlier, Vince, you mentioned that your lust for Springfield is very graphic.
Insatiable, I would say. I would say insatiable. Feverish, maybe.
I mean, you could say both of those, but I think the best term would be animated. I mean, it's a very animated lust. And
I see where you're going with this.
You do, actually?
That was a play on words, right?
Right. If our understandings are the same, I mean, you know, I would certainly defer to your understanding of how Springfield came to be too. That's definitely okay too.
Well, we're really looking to you, I'd say, Vince, to sort of show us around town.
Well, okay. So a few years back, I mean, our streets were in just terrible disrepair, and you know, Main Street, it was all cracked and broken, and everyone got together. And we heard some ideas about where to get funds, you know, to rail against our own destitution, and maybe a single source of funds, a mono place to rail against our own misfortune. And they heard about this opportunity from the Utah state government to participate as a member or a sponsor or almost a sister city between our reality and the reality of the Samsons. And
excuse me, sir. Not just to interject, graphic novel man.
Yeah.
Did you say the Samsons?
I'm sorry.
Did you say the Samsons?
You mean
the Simpsons, of course.
Yeah, that's what I said. Isn't it the Samsons?
Oh, my mistake. Yeah, the Simpsons. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. No, you're right.
Okay. Well, so anyway, you know, being in our town with all the streets in disrepair, the town gathered around and they said, you know, we have to take this opportunity. The Utah state government is offering funds left and right to replicate great things from the past, to get people to actually go there. Because I think once the cat was out of the bag about the Salt Lake not actually being a salted lake, I think they knew that there were going to have to be some changes to draw people back. So we jumped right aboard that because, you know, who could resist? But of course, not everyone in Utah is as big a fan of the Simpsons as I am. So they all turned to me and, you know, they said Main Street is all cracked and broken. And they said, sorry, graphic novel man, the mob has spoken. Simpsons funds, Simpsons funds, Simpsons funds. Uh-huh. So I guess that's where we're at.
I'm just going to assume here that this is the point where you had said a town with money is a lot like a mule with a spinning wheel. No one knows how he got it, and danged if he knows how to use it.
That's actually, that's what my grandfather said to me before he passed. And so I think for me that was...
Your grandfather said that to you before he passed?
Well, he was a very big fan of mules and spinning wheels, so naturally the combination of the two left him in such a state of giddy excitement that...
I just meant because, I was quoting the line from that episode, you know, Marge versus the monorail.
Well,
right?
Well, I don't think there were any Marges at that meeting. If you're talking about the episode where we all sat together and decided how to best gain Utah's funds, is that...
Oh, maybe... Oh, because your town was marginalized. That's...
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Oh, because we're okay. we're on the march.
I have to admit, fellas, I'm a little lost, but then again, I'm not a Simpsons super fan like you two.
I know. I tell you that every day, Vince.
Yeah, even when I specifically ask you not to. Well, I feel like there's a lot to chew on when we talk about this town. And I think maybe, just maybe, the best way to get our feet wet in Springfield is to sample some of the cuisine. Or at least talk about someone who did. Isn't that right, Elliot?
I couldn't agree more, Vince. And I want to chew on this, a segment we call Elliot's Eats.
Listeners, Elliot's Eats is my brother's opportunity to explore the cuisine, the culinar of the cities that we stay in. And he typically holes up in one or two establishments, gets to know the fare, and gives a review of it. And this is... perhaps a more challenging town than most, Elliot. I don't know much about The Simpsons, but I know that a lot of their characters, they like foods like donuts and meats. And our lovable main character, Homer, he's sort of an oafish type, if I'm not mistaken. Whereas you are a svelte, glistening vegan.
That's true. But I was prepared, guys and graphic novel man, to eat as much as king-size Homer in this town, right? You get the reference?
Graphic novel man? I am a tremendous fan of the Odyssey. I'm so glad. I actually wrote my senior thesis about that, and so I think you're sort of making a lark here. Am I right?
Oh yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah. But
Elliot,
anyway,
that was a good lark if I've ever heard one.
You two are more clever than you appear. I respect that.
We usually do reference ancient Greek literature in this podcast, but anyway, you know, we're getting off topic pretty quickly. I was ready to eat a lot, let's say, and one of our favorite main characters, Lisa, is a vegetarian, so I was very excited to see how you guys kind of repurposed her dietary affect, especially in a place that I heard about, which was a vegetarian restaurant, and I came to it, and it was called Leela Simpson's Vegetarian Place to Eat, and I thought at first maybe it was like a play on Futurama. Matt Groening also made Futurama. Leela as a character, and then on the menu there was a kind of a crude drawing of a starfish-headed girl with it, but she had one eye. And I was very confused from the get-go. So, graphic novel man, could you explain kind of what the impetus behind this was?
Well, I mean, obviously, in Utah, we were pretty diverse. I mean, we're known, I think, throughout the United States as one of the more diverse states, and our city is no exception to that. So, I think what we were going for is, you know, first and foremost, this is a star restaurant, right? So we just wanted
like a Michelin star.
Well, okay. you said it here first. So we wanted, I think when that restaurant was started, we sort of said, well, this is going to be the star of the city. And then we, you know, the rest of the people who were, you know, making the restaurant said, but also we have to have our eyes on the prize. But they didn't want to get overzealous because, people from Utah are also pretty modest. And so they said, let's just put one eye on the prize. And so the prize is our star.
Interesting. So the logo is kind of like a fun coincidence.
That was a meandering explanation, I have to say, graphic novel man.
Thank you.
I was a little confused by it. I was also a little confused by what was on the menu because it was a vegetarian place to eat in the town and everything was a meat dish. which was yeah. interesting to me.
Well, I guess just, you know, don't look at only what's on the menu, but look at what's not on the menu. Just, I mean, just think back. I don't know if you have a copy of the menu on hand or not, but just
look. I do. Yeah, it's okay. Right here.
So if you just look at there, your first meal is, I believe it reads slab of veal from Very Sad Cow, right? So that's, you know, that right there, right there, it tells you one thing that is on the menu is a sad cow. But what's not on the menu are happy cows and other happy animals. So just think for a second, if you're a vegan, wouldn't you enjoy more than anything the solace and the peace that comes with knowing how many animals you didn't eat today? So yeah, I think
I never thought about it that way.
I think that's kind of the idea, is if you look at all of the specific animals that aren't on there, your family pet isn't on the menu in most cases. Your neighbor's pet isn't anymore. We dealt with that. I do want people to know that that was something the restaurant owners dealt with. So all the Yelp reviews should stop referencing neighbor pet.
Wow. Are you saying, graphic novel man, that in a way, by not eating an animal right now, I'm also a vegan?
That is the most vegan lifestyle. So kudos to you. It's one.
Wow.
I personally
feel healthier already. Elliot, you might have been onto something.
I guess. If we're judging veganism by, you know, just a minute-to-minute play-by-play here, technically you're a vegan, Vince.
I mean, most of my day is spent being vegan.
And Vince, wow. if I can say, Vince, sitting here in this RV right now with the light sort of cast down on you, you're much, much less obese than I would have expected. I mean, still a little, but not nearly the size that I would have expected. It's actually relatively comfortable sitting in this RV with you.
Thank you, I think.
Less obese than king-size Homer, right?
Well, upon returning home.
When he had the moo-moo in that episode?
Elliot, I don't know that the Odyssey was illustrated. I don't know what you're referencing.
I think he means the episode where he returns home and finds that his wife has slain a fatted calf for him, and so the moo-moo is sort of the sound.
Oh, got you. The cow is making the moo-moo, and then he's fat, which is why you would say,
right? I gotcha. But again, and just like with our restaurants here, it's also vegan for him to have eaten that cow, because you know, as a proportion of all animals he ate,
it was pretty small. By eating that cow, he wasn't eating many other cows.
Almost 0% of cows was he eating at that time. So that,
yeah, I that mean, makes that's very sound logic.
He's good.
I guess I must have been referencing that. Interesting. Well, so the long story short is that I wasn't satiated really by not eating these things in a place I thought was going to be vegetarian, but I do have kind of a sweet tooth. And as Vince mentioned, I did assume that Springfield was going to be known for their donuts, and there was a huge glistening statue of a boy holding up what I thought to be a donut, but when I got closer, was a giant croissant.
Mm. I think that's to be expected in a town like this, don't you think? Just kind of a...
Well, I would have expected a different sweet treat than a croissant, especially from this statue.
You know, catch me up to speed, Elliot and graphic novel men. I'm not really familiar with The Simpsons. Are croissants not really a seminal focal point in the story of The Simpsons?
I guess I'll defer to you. I mean, I've seen every episode, but maybe there's some other, you know, fan fiction or something you guys are referencing?
A Christmas special, maybe.
Well, I think and no offense to you, Elliot, or, you know, and obviously, Vince, you haven't seen the show, so, I mean, there's no way you could know this definitively, that, you know, what I'm about to say is true or not, so I assume you're just going to kind of have to trust me on this one. But, you know, maybe there's some back catalogs of scripts that were never produced that reference, you know, croissants have taken the place of donuts, and so no longer is that a good thing, right? I think the episode was the fat guy who doesn't shave very often eats a croissant from now on. I think that was the episode. Did you read that, Elliot?
Do you mean Homer? Are you referencing Homer? The fat guy that doesn't shave very often.
Well, I mean, he couldn't have shaved on the boat, but I feel like you keep getting off track here. We're not talking about the Odyssey anymore.
Wait, on the boat. man, this is
so there was confusing. That episode. I think I saw that episode where Homer and then Little Homer, they are like fishing together. That happens once,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Wait, Little Homer. God, I'm confusing myself now. If I've been watching the right show,
Little Homer, what? Yeah, it's Big Homer, and then his son, Little Homer. That's right, isn't it? Graphic novel man.
Oh, for sure. I mean, one of the favorite things that people will say to me when they come into the Cyborg's portcullis is, "Hey, do you have any more Big Homer, Little Homer figurines?" And what I'll usually say is, "I think so," and so I'll go back and check typically. And when I do that, they'll wait and. If I do have any figurines, I'll sell them the Big Homer and the Little Homer figurines together.
You know what? So you guys are referencing the episode where Bart gets a big brother, and then being jealous, Homer gets a little brother, and the little boy Peppy calls him Papa Homer, and he's kind of like the Little Homer. Is that that's kind of what you're getting at, right?
Well, I'll defer again to Graphic Novel Man because, like I said, I've only seen a few episodes in passing.
I mean, that's one of my favorite relationships is the one where there's the dad, he's got a kid, and then little Homer he's got a dad too. So, I mean, I think you and I are both in agreement here, wouldn't you say, Elliot, that was definitely an episode in The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
It was an episode. See, yeah,
that sounds right. So, yeah,
I mean, again, this is why
Elliot. I don't know why you're trying to question the expert here all the time. You guys are agreeing.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. And being around a super fan like myself is pretty fun because I don't really get to talk about The Simpsons with you, Vince. So I'm trying to get as much Simpsons knowledge as I can. And you know, speaking of that, Vince, did you run into any food places around town that you might not have caught the reference and Graphic Novel Man and I could help explain it to you?
Yeah, okay, that's a good idea. I like that, Elliot. I did. I went to a fun sort of, it's sort of like a make-your-own pizza place, but it wasn't pizza. But it was a hands-on experience. It was both a tailor and a delicatessen, and it was called Eat Your Skorts. And they would make like skorts. You could like choose the material, and they'd make you a pair of skorts. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not the perfect garment for a male like myself, but you know we have female fans out there, female family members. So I was picking up some skorts, and they also make you a sandwich that looks like the skorts that you picked out.
Just backing up a second. So you were at a pizza place, so an Italian restaurant.
No, it was a delicatessen.
And it wasn't called Luigi's.
No, I told you. It's called Eat My Skorts. That's
pretty insensitive to assume that anyone who's Italian would have that name.
Elliot, that's so out of character for you. You're an open-minded guy. I don't know why you have to go directly to Luigi's.
Well, I just... There's the... You know what? I'm not even going to explain it.
That leaves a bad taste in my mouth, Elliot. Much like when I accidentally bit the skorts that I bought instead of the sandwich that I ordered.
And that's one of their specialties, actually, is scorching hot sandwiches.
Scorching. Scorching is spelled S-K-O-R-T-C-H-I-N-G, if you didn't know, listeners.
Wow. I don't even know where to begin to dissect all this.
I assume, Elliot, I mean, just correct me if I'm wrong, though, Eat My Skorts is definitely like a line that one of the characters in The Simpsons says. That's like a tagline or something?
Maybe. I mean, Graphic Novel Man, you said you had access to a bunch of back scripts that never were aired. So maybe it's in one of those?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you see lines like that all over the place. I mean, ones that are real popular lines, you know? Like, snuff. You'd see, like, snuff man doesn't smoke, you know?
Snuff man?
Snuff man, right? It's
anti-smoking message, like, use snuff instead of cigarettes. Makes sense.
Hey, Vince... Am I smoking something myself, or does it seem like Elliot hasn't seen this show? I mean,
I don't want to cast dispersions on my brother, but you guys seem to have a lot of wires crossed on here.
I mean, I just want to say, for the listeners out there, I don't condone any of these kind of culturally insensitive views about what a typical Italian person's name might be. And
Elliot, what kind of a person would you think would own like a bodega, like a quick shop, like a corner market.
Let me guess here.
Yeah, well, let Elliot answer, maybe. Yeah. What character in The Simpsons would you think would run that sort of shop?
Well, it would obviously be Apu, Nahaspian Petalon.
Oh, really? You just roll that one out right there. He just went right for it. That must be his name.
And his brother Sanjay, his wife,
let's stop you there. Wow. Let's stop you there. We have a lot of Indian listeners who I respect. I would urge you to have the same respect towards them, Elliot.
It'd be one thing if this was a staple in the show, like that there was a character with that name. But in this circumstance, Elliot, I think you've really gone too far.
To just dream that up. Wow, Elliot. You know, maybe we should take some words out of Elliot's mouth for a change and give some to our listeners in our next segment. What do you think about that graphic novel, man?
I think anything we can do to separate Elliot from the microphone and give him a chance to reflect on who he's clearly become comes from a real dark place of hate, Elliot. I'm sorry.
Okay, eloquently said.
Maybe things can be straightened out in our next segment. Wouldn't you like to know?
So, listeners, wouldn't you like to know is your weekly opportunity to write in to us with your questions, queries, and inquisitions about the towns we're staying in. We and the guests read these letters on air, and we answer three each and every week. I actually have the first one for both of you.
Good, because I really don't want to say anything for a couple minutes here.
Well, it's going to be tough luck for you then, Elliot, because this is a cool little thing. This is a listener from Tampa Bay, Michigan, actually. I didn't know there was a Tampa Bay in Michigan. Wrote in with a little Q&A. It's a little Q&A, a true and false quiz about The Simpsons.
Ooh, like a trivia. That's cool.
Yes, exactly. Trivia. And his name is Royce from Tampa Bay, Michigan. And he writes, "Hey guys, I'm a huge Simpsons fan as well. I can't wait to hear some of the less known insights and tidbits about the show. Now that you have two experts facing off, I thought I'd contribute with a little trivia."
This is going to be awesome.
Great idea.
Man, are you ready for this?
Yep.
All right, I'll kick things off then. We'll go back and forth so you can answer this one first, Graphic Novel Man. True or false, the most popular episode in Simpsons history was their crossover episode with Futurama, much in a Jetsons, Flintstones style caper.
Well, I mean, I think when you look at kind of the particularities of their crossover into Futurana, it's...
Did you say Futurana?
Sorry?
You mean Futurama.
Yeah. That's what I said.
That's what he said, Elliot.
I just misheard.
I'm Futurana, sorry. He hears a different thing.
He's been listening to the Macarena on repeat for like the last 650 miles.
And his ears are just all sorts of goofed up. Well, that's a bummer. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'll get back to this answer. That's a false one, isn't it? It is. It is.
You know what? I was prepared to argue this, but I guess technically, you know, it wasn't their most popular, if technically speaking.
Yeah, and Elliot, I mean, we're both big fans, so let's both think of the most popular episode, and on three, we'll say it together, okay? Do you got it locked definitely. In?
Okay, Vince, give us a countdown. I know that we're going to be in sync on this one.
Oh, I'm excited. All right, yeah, I'll cut you down from three. Three, two, one.
Saturdays of Thunder. Hey.
Oh, you guys did it. Yeah, that was cool. You both said the same one.
Saturday's a day. I do love that episode. It's one of my favorite ones for sure.
Elliot, what happens in that episode?
Well, actually, Graphic Novel Man, do you maybe have a favorite scene or a line from that episode?
Well, you know, kind of as someone who's a little bit cultured and knowledgeable, some people might say a little up in my high castle, I tend to not think about the words that are said, but the ones that are left unsaid. Sort of the jazz of an episode of The Simpsons. And so
Did you say Simpsons?
No, I said The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are...
Why would I say the wrong name?
It was a long drive.
We all know
this is the famous soapbox derby race episode of The Simpsons, and I'm sure you have a lot of funny lines that you have chalked up that you love. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to put you on the spot or anything. So Vince, what's another true or false question that this listener asked?
Oh, yeah. I should get through these to make time for the other questions. Probably, he yeah. goes on to say, so this is the second question. It's, hey. He said, hey again as part of the question. That's weird. Strange. Yeah. True or false? The most well-known spin-off of The Simpsons is a movie franchise starring Kevin James called Paul Blart Mall Cop, and it's named after the wisecracking son of Homer, Blart Simpson.
Well, that's weird. Comic book guy, can you please do the honors and answer this true or false question?
Do I even need to answer this one? It seems exactly. so obvious exactly. to me.
It's just preposterous. You know, that's false.
I mean, right? For sure. Oh,
man. It's funny definitely. That some people think they just know The Simpsons, but they really say don't.
I'm a big fan. They say that, and then they kind of try to pass off something like that as if, all right, consider that question answered.
All right, well, this is a slam dunk so far. This is great. Well, thanks again, Royce. This final question, he says, true or false, the two most popular side characters in The Simpsons are you have to choose two from these three to be the most popular.
Okay.
There's apparently a middle school teacher that specializes in outdated presentation formats, aka PowerPoint, and his name is Slideshow Bob. B.
Read the other two, and then I'll answer.
There is a Irishman who works as a electrical technician at the school, and he goes by Lightkeeper Billy.
Okay.
So now these are the first two, and then the last one.
One of these is wrong, right?
Yeah, one of these is not one of the most popular side characters.
Is it at least one, or just one of them?
It's only one of the three is not. Okay. So you're trying to pick the one that's false.
Okay, so what was the third one?
He goes by Sanders, and he's the next-door neighbor of Homer, and he's got a mustache, and he, I guess, is sort of a take-up on Colonel Sanders.
And he says things kind of like, yodely-do, guys.
Heidi-ho? Neighborino?
No. It doesn't say that here on the list, so.
You know, there it seems like it'd be wrong. There are very obscure characters that are only introduced one episode, and I can't remember all these. I'm sure Graphic Novel Man, you have them in your mind. And if it were me, I wouldn't pick any of these to be the most popular two side characters, would you?
I think I've got at least one of them. Let's put it this way. I mean, when you think about popular in your head, isn't popular the ones that are most good?
Interesting counterpoint, Elliot. Yeah. Elliot, so, I hadn't considered that.
With another question. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, astute. Well, I'll just say for me, Slideshow Bill is a good character, and he's got a memorable catchphrase. He's always chasing down old, old projector slides that have accidentally been written on.
This sounds like a true, what a goof.
Yeah, so he's chasing those down. What a gag. This,
man, yeah. I think Simpsons might be funny, really, actually.
I've been trying to tell you, it's a great show, Vince. I can't really attest to anything that you guys are talking about now, but if you watch an episode, I'm sure that you'll see it's a really funny show. Huh. Well, that was a fun game, and I think we should move on to our next question, which is sure to be a lot less frustrating than this first one.
Yeah, that's how it usually goes.
So this one comes from Marcy in, it looks like, Palatine, Illinois. And Marcy says, hey guys, I'm a huge fan of The Simpsons. Okay, what the? Vince, can you read this?
Did you write?
Does that say Simpsons?
I think it says Simpsons. Is that an alternate name that you can call The Simpsons Graphic Novel Man?
I have it figured out. You said, what did you say the town was that she's from?
Palatine, Illinois?
No, you mean Palatino. That's a font. It's a font issue. That says
that makes sense now.
That's for sure the right name.
It is a type letter. Sometimes there's like a weird glyph issue with certain fonts.
Yeah, okay. It's got serifs.
Okay, I'm sorry, Marcy. Anyway,
it's the serifs, Elliot.
So she,
yeah.
So she says, I love The Simpsons. All right, Marcy, we know we're all fans here. And she's a huge fan of probably their most well-known spinoff, apparently, after Paul Blart Mall Cop. And it's called Deliverance, which was shot and set in Springfield, Utah. Now, this, I know is incorrect, right?
I don't. Okay.
Do we ever really know anything, Elliot?
Well, the movie Deliverance, I think we've established on this podcast a couple times, was shot in set in Georgia, and it takes place in the 1970s. So even in that time period, it predates The Simpsons by about 20 years.
But Elliot, wasn't it really about The Simpsons? I mean, yeah, it was shot and set somewhere else, but don't you think it was about The Simpsons?
Elliot, peel back the layers.
I guess, maybe.
I mean, look at it this way, Elliot. You've got a group of men enduring hardships as they travel by boat. It's like a retelling of the Odyssey, and the Odyssey is what The Simpsons is based on, obviously Homer. So isn't it
King Homer?
Yes, King Homer.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I guess. You guys are... I'm starting to not know what's real and what is not anymore.
So, Vince, isn't it funny how some people aren't really astute, critical minds like ours? Isn't that funny to you, too?
It's really funny. It's funny. Would you say, Elliot, that the lines of reality are being blurred as if through animation?
Sure. I don't even fucking care anymore.
I don't think he gets it, graphic novel man. He doesn't get it.
Someday you'll stop just reading for the plot lines, and you'll start reading the plot lines that aren't there, Elliot. And then maybe we can talk.
Well, okay, fine. Graphic novel man, maybe you can read between the lines of this next letter that we have.
Sure. Let me open this one up for you. So I have a question here, and I think you folks could help me out here. It's from Lloyd O'Fleur, and he says, "Hi, I'm Lloyd O'Fleur. You might remember me from such popular documentaries as Human Trafficking, When Harry Bet Sally, and Mangoes, Nature's Forbidden Fruit."
I love that one.
And he says, he also writes, "And you may also remember me for such visionary made-for-TV films as Helen of Troy, Grease Takes on Hollywood, and Deliverance, a film set and made in Springfield, Utah." he goes on to ask, "What films of mine have you seen, and which ones are your favorite?" I feel like that's a little self-serving, but...
Yeah, maybe not our most altruistic letter of all time, but...
Well, I'm just going to assume that you said Troy McClure, right? Is that what you said? Like the famous Simpsons character?
That's absolutely what... isn't that what I read here? Oh, it's a font issue. I'm sorry, guys. It's definitely a font issue.
Elliot, there's a lot of fonts in 2017.
That letter is handwritten by you.
It's his hand font. I mean, I guess if I have to go around explaining to you that things look different sometimes, this is going to be a really long episode.
Jeez, Elliot, you're embarrassing us in front of the expert. Of course, everyone has their own hand font. There's even a whole branch of forensic evidence science based on hand fonts.
It's called hand fonting. You know what? I'm not going to sit here anymore and try and decipher all this because, most notably, Vince, we have something else we need to decipher in our next segment.
That's right, Elliot. It's a segment we call Say What?
So, listeners, as you know, Say What is our journey into a town's local lexicon. All the things that you can't hear anywhere else but here, and this town in particular, are things that you might hear on my favorite show, on Graphic Novel Man's favorite show, The Simpsons. I was really excited to have, for once, Vince, an arsenal of the local lexicon at my disposal as I walked around town.
Yeah, you were trying out phrases on me all the whole way, the whole week it took to get here.
Yeah, so, I mean, right when I bumped into you, Graphic Novel Man, when you came over here to record this, I said, "Hey, don't have a cow, man."
And which, it's actually pretty fun, because remember that restaurant we were talking about?
You know, exactly.
You're kind of referencing the menu there. It was clever. I kind of saw what you weren't doing there. You know,
he hasn't really seemed it on this episode, but Elliot's a really clever, quick-witted guy. So these sort of wordplay things he likes to do are, you know, you got to be quick on your toes to keep up with him.
Are there any phrases that you know and love graphic novel man from The Simpsons that are at your disposal in Springfield, Utah?
Oh, I mean, for sure. There's got to be several of them. I mean, I guess one of my favorite ones, it's not even a catchphrase, but, you know, we have excellent hospitals here, and Dr. Rick Rio de Janeiro will often walk into a room and he'll say, "Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Rick, but this is a serious medical issue, and you already know who I am, so let's begin with the treatment plan." You know, that's kind of for me.
That's sort of long-winded, but catchy.
I think. Oh, yeah. It's super, super catchy. And, you know, there's also the one where the little Homer, you know, he'll kind of get into a situation that he's in over his head, you know, and he'll look right into the camera and he'll go, "Hey, Canyonero!" He'll shout that, you know, like
Canyonero. Yeah, that's a fun episode too.
Yeah. Canyonero? What does it mean?
Yeah. Canyonero, you know, like the sport utility vehicle that actually turns out to be a women's car. I'm sure you love this episode, graphic novel man.
I mean, the subtext there is it's very clear. You know, what aren't we all really sports utility vehicles that were actually made for women? You know, I think that's kind of what he's making that reference to, remind us all that, you know, gender norms may be imposed by society, but we don't have to live up to them. So I think that's
a really deep reading of that.
And then to our listeners who don't know, subtext is like a really small font that you can have.
No serifs, though. It's simply right, it's small.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Legibility
also,
issues.
Also, that's not a font issue. That is something that you actually control if you want subtext in a word processor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could toggle that on and off.
You know, a catchphrase that I ran into that I brought to town, too. But we're dealing with a little less words here than these other catchphrases you've mentioned, is I was walking around and I stubbed my toe and people saw me and I said, "Dope." And I thought it would be a huge hit and no one seemed to know what I was talking about.
Well, I mean,
how can one word exclamation be a catchphrase, yeah, that, Elliot?
Seems a little fishy to me.
That doesn't sound
good. That's as weird as a radioactive fish with three eyes flopping around near a nuclear power plant. Not that anybody's ever seen that, but...
Oh, like Blinky?
You're going to name a made-up fish?
Yeah, and by the way, insensitive. First, you attack our country on cultural grounds, but now environmental issues aren't above your haranguing.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to the listeners of these parts.
And I'd like to thank you for apologizing to them. Yeah.
I'd like to thank you for reminding me that some people on these parts, Vince, can be good people. And radioactive fish, cover your gently irradiated ears for the rest of this episode, because I assume it's only going to get worse from here.
Elliot, let me pick your brain again. Imagine there's a family, all right, and they were good, kind-hearted Christian folk, and the wife of that family was a philanthropic linchpin in her community, and she was well-liked by everyone. What would the show do to a character like that?
Well, I mean, they killed Maude Flanders.
Yeah, wow. That's
who you're referencing.
Wow. Wow. You think that the show would do that? Did they do that, graphic novel man?
I mean, at the end of the day, she's not still around, so to all of us, you know,
well, yeah,
in it.
She was shot with a t-shirt cannon. Remember that episode?
I mean, she was shot with a t-shirt cannon of plot. You know, I mean, I do remember the kind of the action surrounding that and the intrigue surrounding it. And at the end of the day, what really matters is that we both understand what happened to her, and I don't think we need to spell it out too much more than that, do we?
I guess not. Wow. For once, Vince, I'm at a loss for words, and especially in the most inopportune time in our Say What segment and leading into our most fast-paced segment of them all.
That's right. He's referencing, of course, Did You Know?
I'm glad that at least one of my references today paid off.
Listeners, Did You Know is our rapid fire fast fact trivia segment where we fire five fast facts back and forth. This should be a fun one because Simpsons as a TV program lends itself so well to trivia. So, Elliot, maybe you should kick things off for us.
Yeah, guys, did you know that Springfield, Utah is the only town in America that everyone has jaundice?
That's a common misconception. I mean, if that's one of your facts, that's fine, but I think it's fake news. And at the end of the day, I'm not about that in Springfield, Utah.
Hey, a round of applause. Hey, good on you.
I just assumed that you guys were trying to be, you know, accurate to the yellow skin of the Simpsons.
Again with the skin color, Elliot. This is...
It's not about that, Elliot.
This is a really dark side of you. Jeez. It's for kids.
It's a child's cartoon.
Kids from 4 to 8 and no older than that should be watching this show.
And now you're going to make some crass turn of the millennium yellow skin joke? I get that Japan has a huge booming animation community, Elliot, but that's just no way to reference it.
Well, I'm sorry. You know what? That was my fact. So do you have a better one, Vince?
I've got a fact for you. If you'd like to hear it, if you could be civil about it.
I would love to hear it.
All right, guys. Did you know one of the characters on The Simpsons, apparently a tavern owner, has an analog, a real live person that's sort of like him here in Springfield, Utah?
Oh, so there's like a Moe's bar here.
No, there's not. There's a Joe's. There's a Joe's
Cavern.
Yeah, Joe's Cavern, and they sell Sloppy Joe's there. And then there's a guy there called Barney, and he overeats the Sloppy Joe's, and then he's sort of like a Barney Rubble type guy because he lives in the cavern.
He's a big boy.
Did you say Barney Rubble?
Yeah, from Barney. Well, he just goes by Barney, but he's like dressed like a caveman. So yeah, I guess it's like a Barney Rubble type, you know, it's a take up.
You had me at Joe's Cavern because that's kind of like a meta reference to the episode where Bart and his friends go into Shelbyville and everyone has like a doppelganger and there is a Joe's Cavern. So is that kind of what you were referencing?
Elliot, this is Springfield. This is Springfield, not Shelbyville.
I feel like you don't even know what city we're in.
That's like basic stuff, Elliot. We go over this on the trip over.
I guess I'm the expert, but I never thought I would be teaching an intro to Simpsons seminar today.
I have to ask you to excuse him. Maybe he's just too excited. Maybe this is like stage fright for Elliot. He's usually very composed.
I think so. Man, Graphic Novel Man, do you have a next Did You Know fact for us?
Did you know there's a local man down on his luck that the whole town has rallied around? And it's an obvious reference to the show itself. His name is Remus, and he actually has a song that the town came up with for him. So it goes, some locals never take it slow, but then again, some locals will, like Remus, the back flawed local. So what happened is...
well, that's just delightful.
Right. Huh. Remus has a lot of kids with, you know, someone... who he's not related to in the slightest.
You know, Utah, and Mormons, etc.
Right, exactly. No relation.
You're sure it's not like his... They don't make jokes that it's his sister or something?
I would God in oh, because heaven, Elliot.
Because we're in Utah?
Is that a polygamy joke? You know, that is not a popular stance even within the Mormon church.
I don't know. I think I might be having an off day or something. Usually my quips are land.
Well, usually you don't result to culturalism and racism.
I mean, this is really... I don't know. Wow. I think it's a nice song,
by the way.
Thank you. I feel like next you're going to tell me that, oh, in Springfield, there's a man who dresses up in a bumblebee costume and is on one of the most popular TV shows, and they call him Bumblebee Man, but he only speaks Spanish. Is that what you're going to say now? Is that a character, Elliot?
Like Bumblebee Man. He's a great character.
Elliot! That's God! That can't be...
How can you...
Stand
by and support this sort of telenovelian tokenism?
It's a nuanced show.
I can't explain it. I'm not here to explain comedy to you guys.
We were lucky for that. Well, okay, Elliot, maybe you have the next Did You Know for us.
That's your idea of humor, man.
Guys, did you know novelty license plates are a huge thing in Springfield, Utah.
Well, that's fun. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's like when you go to a shop and they have little license plates and you can find your name on it. The interesting thing, I walked in and there were a ton of license plate that said Bort, which I thought it's kind of like another little in-joke reference to the show. And when I pointed it out to someone, they said, yeah, for Bort Simpson.
Oh, I get it, because his real name is Blart Simpson.
Right.
For Paul Blart. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, well, this might also be a fonting issue when you get down to it. We, most people in Springfield, Utah, speak with a sans serif font accent. They're, so what you might say as, you know, Samson's comes out as Simpsons, or you might hear someone say, hey, it's Krusty the Clown, when what they really mean is it's Kruppy the Clown, like what's actually on the show. So that it's the sans serif font that you're hearing.
That's why they call it a southern drawl, because you're drawing the letters with your mouth.
Right. Try to draw a lowercase a with your mouth. It's very difficult.
Huh. Wow. Well, typically this is where I would throw the next Did You Know factoid in here, but I actually want to kick it back over to you, graphic novel man. I was going to say some sort of, you know, clever little Did You Know about wind power being the number one energy resource here in Springfield because, you know, the clean energy, et cetera, the huge wind power plant. But why don't you instead... That's true. Just like in the show, yeah. I've been told. Mm-hmm. But why don't you? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Why don't you, graphic novel man, kick us home with the final one?
Yeah, actually on that note about energy, did you know that Springfield is entirely solar powered, and that's due to the fact that the clouds always part. Right when you enter the town, you know, it's kind of,
oh, that's what the fans are for. They're not for wind power. They're to part the clouds.
No. And that's because the proprietor of the main solar energy plant, Rutherford J. Soothes a burn. He actually said,
I wonder what ethnicity that surname is. Very peculiar.
Elliot, you would have a great idea.
Can we stay away from ethnicities, please? Just for a little
bit. Probably for the best.
Now Elliot wants to stay away from ethnicities.
Very convenient.
Good. Finally. All right. Well, he, as you know, Elliot, I'm sure, he's always scheming about ways to, you know, give a little bit of his money back. And so he thought, you know, what if I devised a plan in this wonderful episode to blow all the clouds away so that nothing would ever block the sun. You know, that one of the most famous episodes of The Simpsons ever has him doing that.
So, is that drawl again?
Yeah, you said, yeah, you said this.
I think I'm picking it up now.
Yeah.
It's, I think I'm picking up on it. Uh-huh.
You learn about it. It takes a while. So,
So you're saying the episode where he plots to make it more sunny in the town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, did this result in him getting shot by a baby?
Why would a baby shoot someone? It's a baby.
So you want to assassinate the show's lovable philanthropist?
Old man? Yeah.
What sort of nonsense?
This is just, I feel like, Elliot, there's a lot of unresolved issues in you that are really coming out today. It's okay. Yeah. We all have our own journey, but... Man,
you know, I thought this was going to be kind of a fun little vacation within our tour for me, Vince, but this has just caused, it seems like, more problems than we can account for in one episode. And so I think we should probably wrap it up.
I think that's a fine idea, Elliot, in a segment we call Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, as you know, you can't be with us as we journey around small town America every week, and we give you the next best thing, an audio postcard from us to you. This one goes something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Springfield, Utah.
A town that has, to a T, represented America's favorite animated sitcom, The Simpsons.
I don't know about that, but a town where they look to chief accuracy consultant and comic book shop proprietor Graphic Novel Man for all references and memorabilia.
A town where very few mistakes are made, and everyone is really open-minded when it comes to cultural and social issues.
A town where I wish I was able to put my foot in my mouth even more, and I apologize to anyone whom I have offended throughout this episode.
A town where you could jump down to the local tavern, or cavern, if you will, for a hot cup of sloppy joe.
In a town where I am seriously reconsidering my love of The Simpsons.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey, listeners. Thanks for tuning in to our time in Springfield, Utah. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope you stay with us for a very special episode next week when we're in Revere, Massachusetts.
Revere, Massachusetts is named after renowned lantern maker Doug Revere. So we hope you join us next week.